There's a dangerous movement in evangelicalism known as the New Apostolic Reformation, and they literally claim that in the past few decades, God has restored apostles and prophets to the church.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In my presentation, I'll be making the case against modern-day apostles and prophets. As part of the presentation, we'll be talking about who's teaching this ecclesiology, the inherent dangers of it, but also what's at the root of it, and that is a false understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against modern-day prophets and apostles Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
If somebody wanted to do an investigation into Christianity, where would you start?
If the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen, it's a house of cards.
You sure you want to give me that loaded gun?
I'm pretty sure you're not going to be able to pull the trigger.
I've spent my entire career as a journalist uncovering the truth until the day my wife presented me with the biggest story of my life.
I'm not gonna lose my wife and my kids to something that I can't even reason with.
And what happened next changed me forever.
How can we even talk about historical evidence for the resurrection?
The Gospels are filled with contradictions.
The empty tomb is based on evidence. And isn't evidence your trade?
We all bet our lives on something.
The question is, what's it going
to
be?
As much as I would like to help out a fellow skeptic, what you're proposing is impossible.
Could Jesus survive being spiked to the cross?
There is no evidence of anyone ever surviving a full Roman crucifixion.
There's a little bit of the trailer for the movie The Case for Christ, telling the story of Lee Strobel, a famous apologist, and, well, his struggle with The Case for Christ. Now that it's a film, how does it stack up, and especially in the genre of Christian filmmaking that tends to be, at least in the broader marketplace, kind of niche, does it in fact make the case for Christ? What kind of cautions theologically would Christians, say, of the Lutheran persuasion need going in to watch the film? I'm going to be answering those questions on this Monday afternoon, April the 10th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Ted Giese joins us. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
You say that for a film like this, and you have to kind of explain what you mean by that, this movie, The Case for Christ, is a step in the right direction. What do you mean?
Well, I think lots of the listeners will have seen movies that are nowadays labeled as faith-based films or, you know, the faith-based genre. So this kind of fits in that camp. You know, it's not exactly mainstream Hollywood. And it's perhaps, maybe, catering to a Christian crowd, an audience. So, you know, in the last number of years, we've reviewed some of these movies like Heaven is for Real and God's Not Dead, God's Not Dead 2. Really, we talked just about God's Not Dead 2. But at any rate, this is from the same people. Some of the same producers that made God's Not Dead 2 have made this film, The Case for Christ. So this movie is a bit of cut above the rest. It's just, you'll notice when, if you see the film, that the acting is better. So there's this Erica Christensen who plays Leslie Strobel, the wife of Lee Strobel in the movie, who's played by Mike Vogel. And these actors are actually doing quite a good job compared to other films like these films. And even the cinematography, and it's set in the late 70s, early 80s, and the clothing and the material culture and pop cultural references and all that kind of stuff are actually quite good. So it's technically better than some of these films. The writing's a bit better. And there's a kind of another element of it that's quite a lot better. And maybe we can talk about that too.
Okay. Just by way of kind of warning signs going into it, while it certainly I think, does tell the story of the Strobels very well, probably. There are some theological concerns that you would want to express up front just to make sure that we don't head down a wrong path. There is a landmine on the apologetics path sometimes there in terms of decision theology.
Yeah, I mean, this is, Lee Strobel became a Christian through the evangelical branch of Christianity. So decision theology is certainly going to be a part of his story of how he became a Christian. And that is all over the place in the movie. Also, I mean, it's similar for his wife, you know, like that kind of language, that kind of way of describing things is clearly all there. So you sit down in the movie theater and you watch this, or you're watching it on Netflix later or on demand or something like that, you are going to notice this. Interestingly, though, there are a couple other things going on in the movie. And I think if you're paying close attention, I like to tell people, the moment somebody says, you know, I've made a decision to follow Jesus, or I've made a decision to make Jesus my Lord and Savior, by the time they've done that, the Holy Spirit has already worked on them, given them their faith, the ability to be able to make that confession. That's the way I like to, you know, talk to people about this. So when it comes to this movie, if you watch it carefully, you're going to notice some things. The one thing is that Lee Strobel's wife goes to church. And when she goes to church, she talks about it afterwards and says that, you know, she heard, you know, the preaching and the, you know, scripture being read, and then she believes. So this is hearing the word of God and then believing, right? So this is like what, you know, St. Paul says, faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So listen for that when you watch the movie. And I guess just for a brief synopsis for people who don't know what this is about at all, what happens is that this is the story of a man named Lee Strobel who worked for the Chicago Tribune as an investigative journalist. And he was an avowed atheist, and his wife, who was pretty agnostic and was going along the flow with him, ends up becoming a Christian. And then he spends 2 years of his life trying to disprove Christianity in order to get his wife back and the rest of his life the way it was before, because he feels like he's lost her. So this is his trying to find out what really is the case with Christ, if this is to be believed or not, but he's hoping to discredit it, right? So you see this, you know, when you're thinking of decision theology, you know, it's going to come to a head. He's going to make some kind of decision about whether this is true or not, right? But the interesting thing too, also to listen for, is there's an additional Bible passage that shows up prominently in the movie, and it's from Ezekiel chapter 36. And in that, it's verse 26. And the verse is, I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So in that, it's God talking. So in essence, you know, you see a lot of this decision theology stuff all over the film, but kind of like in the background, working in the guts of everything, is actually God is actually the one at work. He's the one who is giving Lee Strobel a heart of flesh and taking away his heart of stone. So this is something very important to watch for, especially as Lutherans, as you're watching the film.
So does it actually do what the title suggests, which is walk in this narrative, walk the viewer through the historical evidence for the resurrection? Obviously, it focuses evidentially on Christ's resurrection as it ought to. Does it get to that stuff without becoming what documentary?
It does, because he's asking all of the questions, you know, like it's kind of like him working as the investigative reporter. And because he's an investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune, he can just phone up expert witnesses and say, hey, I'm writing an article, you know, I have a question for you. And then they'll just give him answers. So he's able to talk to prominent theologians and historians and medical doctors, and it all kind of fits because he's got access to them, because he can say, I'm calling from the Chicago Tribune. But he's also from that school of journalism, which is the, you know, if your mother says that she loves you, you'd better get another source to corroborate that before you go to print. So he doesn't just trust what's in front of him, even if he quote unquote should. So you get that impression too as you're watching it, that he really wants to, you know, be sure that this is trustworthy. But really, he's, like I said before, he's trying to disprove it. He's not trying to prove it. He wants to disprove it, but he keeps finding that, you know, like, that the documents are reliable and that, you know, there's no good reason for this or no bad reason for that. And, you know, like, he needs to, you know, deal with all those things. And it has an emotional impact on his life as well. He becomes more frustrated, gets involved with, you know, more alcoholism, gets more angry, has a hard time dealing with everything.
Okay, so does the story put it, or the narration of the story, or how it's put together, does it put its thumb on the scale in favor of Christianity? In other words, does it really present the best case against Christ so that we can see that the evidence does actually testify to this truth?
I think his reasons, like, it lays out his reasons for having problems. So his reasons for having problems are things like he has a bad relationship with his father. He just doesn't see the value in God being real at all. And he thinks that it's not factual until he looks into it. So his reasons are the kind of personal, real world reasons that people have for not believing face value what scripture has in it. But by the end of the film, he has, like, kind of, if you could imagine, like, a, you know, a list of, you know, like, check boxes to check off. I mean, they've hit everything, you know, like eyewitness accounts, you know, the veracity of the eyewitness accounts of what happened outside of scripture, medical opinions about the crucifixion, about the death of Christ. They really check off a bunch of things. So he, like, the actual good case is made, but maybe his reasons are actually, because it's a docudrama, it's based on a real person, his reasons are the kind of reasons people have. So he's not, like, setting up the absolute best airtight reason why it wouldn't be the case alongside the absolute best airtight reason why it is the case. He's got his emotional and, you know, personal baggage on the one side. But then the case for Christ is the best possible case laid out very well for this kind of movie. It's about as good as you can imagine for this kind of movie.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie The Case for Christ on this Monday, April the 10th. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts and is pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. And we're going to talk about the conversion in this film right after this.
And we're going to have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Do you know the five things you definitely should not hear in an Easter sermon? Better still, would you recognize the five things you absolutely should? Here's a hint. Expect to hear Jesus. Read the April edition of the Lutheran Witness to learn more. Not a subscriber? Go to cph.org/trylutheranwitness. For a special offer of 6 issues for only $6.99, The Lutheran Witness, Interpreting the Contemporary World from a Lutheran Perspective, cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
Dr. Anthony Eslin will be speaking on the topic of imagination and education at the second annual Wittenberg Academy Family Retreat, which will be held at Camp Okoboji in Milford, Iowa on April 27th through the 29th, 2017. Join us and be immersed in God's Word, thoughtful discussions, and family fun. For more information or to register, visit www.wittenbergacademy.org and click on the registration tab.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
Trinity Lutheran Church in Vilonia, Indiana, is a mighty fortress that stands as a bulwark against the attacks of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. We are located in Jackson County, about 2 miles south of historic Fort Valonia on State Road 135. Join us every Lord's Day for Sunday school and Bible class at 8:30 and divine service at 9:30. Come and receive the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation from God's Valiant One, Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and holds the field forever.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries, right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're reviewing the movie The Case for Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. Pastor Giese, I got a couple other questions for you. Does it depict the typical kind of... You said there's some sap in this film. Does it depict the conversion in that kind of typical, you know, strings playing in the background, sentimental way?
Well, the conversion part is actually... I mean, there's kind of almost like two spots, like the one spot, and like these are reviews, not previews. So this is a bit of a spoiler. If you don't want to know this, then I mean, here's the thing. Lee Strobel, if you've been following apologetics, is a very well-known Christian apologist. So spoiler, he becomes a Christian, right? So the one moment is he's kind of in the room where he's putting together all of his evidence, and he just eventually says, you know, okay, God, you win. So like that is actually, I think, while watching the movie, that's the conversion moment where he finally gives in and he actually like he's speaking to God. That's in the category of prayer. And then there's this moment between him and his wife where he's telling her and they get on their knees and he kind of tries praying again with her there. And a lot of people would see that as the kind of conversion experience. But, you know, you have these two things going on near the end of the film. And I think the first one is not, it's not sappy strings playing. It's kind of like all of the evidence is now rattling around his head and he just has to, he's something has got to give and it's him. It's not God. So that's kind of interesting. So I hopefully that answers the question.
You also say that there's one of the things the film takes liberties with some of the details of Strobel's actual account of coming to grips with these things as an atheist being brought and converted to Christianity. And those liberties may either be, well, a harm to the film or not necessarily a harm. You say it depends on what?
Well, with movies like this, like I like to go into movies like this kind of imagining what an atheist might think if they sat down to watch the movie. So when you come to movies like God's Not Dead or God's Not Dead 2, the atheist characters are very flat, very impersonal, sometimes just like out-and-out villains, you know, like, you know, mustache-twirling stereotypes. But this movie is better than that, so you get a real well-rounded, you know, character in this atheist who becomes a Christian. That's a positive, I would say. And of course, you know, he's actually building a very good case. And instead of like with God's Not Dead 2 and the first one, which I think the first one was about evolution, this one gets right at the heart of Christianity, right to the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. And that's good too. And the evidence that's lined up is awesome. It's really good. But here's the problem. And we've talked about this with movies like Hacksaw Ridge, with the Desmond Doss story, is that when they kind of fictionalize parts of this person's actual life, to dramatize it, to like pump it up and make it more, you know, dramatic, you know, then those things are not actually the way they happened. So if you're an atheist and you're really serious and you have a skeptical mind and you're watching this for some reason, you're going to go, okay, over here, all this stuff with Christ, I'm supposed to take that as all true. But over here in the story of this man's life, here we've got dramatization and things that aren't quote unquote true in this true story. So I wonder whether or not that can be a problem for somebody who's analytically looking at this. Now, I realize that, you know, someone coming to Christ, you know, just like the third article of the Apostles' Creed says, they do not come to Christ by their reason or strength. I realize the Holy Spirit is what's bringing them in. But I know that sometimes there can be unnecessary roadblocks put in people's way. And if you have parts of films that are not, this is kind of like a philosophical question. If you set it up where parts of the story are patently not true, but you want to get at some truth over here, and it is based on somebody's actual life that you could actually phone up or talk to or look on YouTube and find his story of how things went, I think that could be a flaw overall. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I guess the question is, you can't control who's going to go see the movie, Ted.
No, I know.
But who did they make the movie for?
Right. So if it's a preaching for the choir, if it's just meant to encourage Christians in their life, then there is not a fear that maybe they could, you know, harm somebody's faith by including things that are not factually true. That's one thing, but I don't know. Like, this is just something that I think about sometimes when I watch movies, because the real skeptical mind that watches the movie is going to be looking for reasons not to believe, looking for loopholes, ways to get out.
So kind of summarize all this for us, if you would. The story, is it well told? Is it the kind of movie that even if you didn't have a dog in the race, and everybody going to this movie is going to have a dog in the race, either the skeptic or the believer is going to have there, it still would be a movie worth watching?
Okay, usually right around this time of year, you get some things that come out, you know, on television or whatever. You know, there's newspaper articles or you know, magazine articles and Facebook posts and whatever. And they're all trying to tear Christianity apart or trying to tear down Christianity or say that it explained it all away. This is not one of those movies. So this is on the plus side of things. This is better than what you normally get. Now, it is in that evangelical camp, and you have to know that going into it. But this is an actual real Christian film. And it really points out clearly a positive message that points to Christ and emphasizes that it's God who ultimately changes hearts. And this is good. Like, this is good. This is not like The Shack, which isn't actually a Christian movie, but has Christian things throughout. It's really heretical. It's not like The Shack. This is a real actual Christian movie. It's a flavor. It's a, you know, from an area of Christian, branch of Christianity that we as Lutherans have some disagreements about, particularly when it comes to how you become a Christian and what's going on in that regard. But, you know, like, this would be, you know, way above average for this kind of film.
So it's not, let's get the youth group together and show them this movie kind of quality. Do you think, Ted, because these efforts continue, the quality very slowly continues to improve, all those things that make for a good film just in terms of acting, do you think there will come a day when Christians might be able to make movies that are actually good films in their own right, apart from the choir that goes to see them?
You know, I think that it's very possible. I mean, and movies, like, good Christian films actually do crop up from time to time. Like, there's like that movie Babette's Feast, you know, which is a really good, actually that one's more Lutheran, you know, from Pietist bent, but a Lutheran one. Even Silence by Martin Scorsese, which we did a review of, that is decidedly a Christian film too. And a very good one. So, you know, like, when I went and saw this movie, the bar was low and I was pleasantly surprised, and it wasn't awful. And in fact, it was clearer and better than usual, with better acting. So this is wonderful. And, you know, I challenge anybody out there who thinks maybe I'd like to be a screenwriter or a director or anything like that. You know, when you finally get your shot at it, even if it's like, I don't know, I'm doing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 8 or whatever it is, bring your confession of faith to what you're doing. You know, if it's fair for other people to bring their ideas to movies, whether they're, you know, specifically Christian, you know, faith-based genred, or if they're in the quote-unquote mainstream, if it's fair for other people to bring what they believe to what they're making, then it's fair for you to do the same. So hopefully one day one of you out there who's listening will be able to make a movie that is excellent in quality, excellent in theology, and gets across what Christ is actually all about for people.
Here's the big question, Ted, because I think what people might be hoping to do is say, well, I got my teenage son. He's turning into a skeptic. My kid just came home from college, and that darn college is turning him into an unbeliever. Your best pastoral advice, do you say, hey, let's go see The Case for Christ in a situation like that?
You know, as good as this movie is compared to other ones like this, if you do that, this is like the eye-rolling kind of thing. Like, I did a little bit of checking into some stuff with Lee Strobel, and he said that when he was going through this two-year period and his wife had become a Christian, she would leave out, you know, like Christian tracts or Christian books with things underlined or things in the house, and that actually kind of drove him crazy and was not helpful. So this might be in the same camp as that. Now, if you're a married couple and this is your particular struggle, the thing that's kind of interesting, and I think that this film actually highlights it fairly well, is what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife. And then vice versa, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. So, you know, like actually continuing to have that relationship with the person is going to go a lot further, you know, than, you know, like the moment where I'm going to plunk you down and make you watch this movie with me. You know, there may be a dozen other ways to continue to show Christ's love and speak God's word to them in a way that will be efficacious. You know, I don't want to say this movie is a magic bullet. Don't use it like that. But, you know, like they may wander across this completely on their own, watch it, and it could have a benefit. But I don't know if it, like, that may be kind of ham-fisted. I don't know if that would be the way to do it, if you're catching what I'm saying.
If you plan to see The Case for Christ, I highly recommend that you read Pastor Ted Giese's review at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Terrorism struck in Egypt on Palm Sunday in two Coptic churches. We're going to be talking about the bombing. ISIS has claimed responsibility. Why do they do this? What is the purpose of attacking Christians in worship on a holy day like Palm Sunday from their perspective? Raymond Ibrahim will be our guest on the other side of the break. The world may tell us that Easter is about eggs and chocolate bunnies, but we Christians know that there would be no Easter without Jesus' death and resurrection. Emmanuel Press has just released an Easter card with beautiful artwork that confesses Christ's victory over death and his redemption of mankind. You can find this card and others at emmanuelpress.us, emmanuelpress.us.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The fake news wars that we're experiencing right now are not going to end soon.
Terry Mattingly on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, making the case for news discernment.
We're actually seeing a war to define what is and what isn't news. This whole thing is about the purpose of journalism and whether the classic American model of the press with its whole emphasis on balance and fairness, is going to survive the internet age. What we'll be talking about is where savvy readers can go to get their news. We're also going to ask, what happens to American public discourse if we all keep on clicking on news sources that only tell us what we want to hear?
You can meet and hear Terry Mattingly June 9th and 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385.